Letters to Lelia, by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 12, Just Being. What are you doing? Seth asked Sarah, startling her. Recording the atmospheric readings, the redhead replied, without turning her head. Really? Seth asked, and Sarah could feel the smile that came with the question, without seeing it. Why is this surprising? You know I always record the atmospheric readings at this time of day? Sarah asked, finally turning around. I don't know, I thought you'd have delegated this to one of your students by now. Besides, nobody had a moment's peace since the preparations for the blessed event started. I'm just so relieved to see someone live a normal life for a change, Seth replied. Define normal life. What's normal about being here? We move time-space slices across the universe. Not that often. Seth protested. We're 1200 years old, Sarah didn't relent. So what? The leader retorted. I have a synthetic daughter who embodies the memories of an eternal race, Sarah continued her enumeration. Everybody is different, Seth replied. My point is, what's normal? Sarah concluded, whatever our daily life is, here, that's normal for me. Seth smiled. Then managing the WISP's administrative issues must be part of normal, too, Sarah said. Good God, I hope not. When is this going to be over? I'll have to file a daily report for breathing soon. They are not that bad. Sarah smiled. Are you kidding me? The leader protested, outraged. Sarah didn't reply. When you have known somebody for a lifetime, most things have already been said. Seth stood in silence for a while the redhead moved about the shop, sorting, testing and recording. She stopped for a second to look at the leader, who still stood there, smiling, deep in thought, almost half an hour later. What is it? Sarah asked, intrigued. Nothing, Seth kept smiling. I never thought I'd see normal again, she repeated. What's still left to do? Sarah broke her reverie. Seth groaned, suddenly brought back to the harsh reality of the WISP's endless approval process. Quite frankly, nothing. You know this is a pointless waste of time, right? Sis could put everything together on the spot, by request. Seth commented. I know, Sarah smiled. And it doesn't drive you nuts? Why? If there is anything we have in abundance, it's time. If it makes the WISPs happy and Lily's life a little easier, what's the big deal? I must be getting old because this explanation actually started to make sense to me. I can't believe I'm doing this. Everything will turn out absolutely perfect, Sarah encouraged, smiling. After this number of meetings, I expect nothing less. Seth retorted, we didn't coordinate as much when we came here. I don't even know if anything else is happening in the meantime. Don't we usually have visiting faculty at the Institute, guests from Eridu, tourists? We put off most of the events until after the bonding ceremony, Sarah replied. Could you please try and convince Roberta to give up her light and sound surprise? I fear Lily is going to crack. Nobody convinces Roberta. How many times did you convince Roberta to change something once her mind was made up? Lily will be fine, she's a lot tougher than you think, Sarah smiled. Seth sat on the built-in bench in front of the louvers, to enjoy the balmy air and watch the beautiful chocolate skies as they got painted with raspberry swirls in the sunset. Sarah forgot she was there after a while, busy as she was observing, cataloging and analyzing her plant samples, communicating results to the plant genetics team, checking class schedules and solving mundane maintenance problems at the institute. The fragrances of vanilla and gardenia enveloped all activity like a blanket, rising from the steam distillers and the dishes filled with concretes that lay around the shop.
For a second, a very tired Seth thought she was still in the healing garden, on one of the stone benches and was surprised at its softness, and then her thoughts got tangled in the noise of interlinked communications, purple babble and the sounds of the people coming and going, Sarah's soft voice dictating research articles to the central core, and Solomon's soft paws jumping through the roof trusses, and she allowed the vanilla fragrance to lull her to sleep.
Landing Bay, Terra 2, July 14, 3245. Dear Lelia, remember the expedition to the Eta Carinae Nebula? You and your classmates must have been 4 or 5, just starting the plant genetics introductory class, and Sarah thought it would be a wonderful idea to send you on a little field trip to make observations about one of the planetoid's various climatic zones and maybe bring a few plants back to the lab for study. For some reason the transportation solenoid missed us and we got stranded on that little low-gravity planet while everyone else got back to Terra 2. I was uncomfortable, as you can tell I'm not that great with children, and wish Sarah had accompanied you guys there instead.
I expected you to start crying and wrecked my mind trying to figure out what to say to comfort you, but you didn't. You looked around, in the blue light of the twilight, turned to me and said, "The atmospheric readings indicate the O2 concentration is diminishing. Maybe we should synthesize some from Murasan leaves while we wait for the transport." I could never look at you and see a child after that. You see, I always watched you among your friends, playing, laughing, and acting like any other 5-year-old, and never realized until that moment what it meant for you to be half cloud. We live extraordinary lives here, and this comes with adjusting to circumstances and cultures very unlike our own. Whether you like it or not, your very existence is a cultural bridge, one that neither side completely understands. People have gotten into the habit of bringing me their problems and questions. The rank of Mother Superior, as rarely I use this title, comes with the assumption that I have the answers to people's questions, so it is very easy for me at times to slip into an easy answer for something I don't understand, just because I'm expected to. I don't want to make this mistake with you, and for that reason I will not give you any advice. Your sister talks to me on occasion about things that happened in the simplex cloud, about splitting herself between focus clusters, and she speaks of it so naturally it gives me the chills sometimes. The truth is us humans, even with Purple's help, are not prepared to comprehend the expansion of consciousness the clouds are capable of. I can only hope you will find your environment exciting enough to keep you looking forward to each day. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but after you've had your fair share of surprises you start realizing life has a lot more repeating patterns than you notice when you're young and jump from one adventure to the next. Now I just love watching the endless puzzle of space and light that turns being into a work of art. It's been so long since I came here, I sometimes look around and forget for a moment that everything around me is something that we built, the prayer hall, the institute, the big ring in the sky. They started getting the weathered look of ancient artifacts and I'm looking in the mirror and seeing the same face I had when I was in Perpignan. People tell me sometimes that your mother and I look very much alike, but I am centuries older. Lelia, do you know how many things happen in centuries? How many events, discoveries, encounters? Where do I start talking about my life and why would I need to? All my friends, the people I've built my life around, have been here with me for all of them. We all look the same age now, of course, so it's hard to tell the old ones from the new anymore. When I was young, I kept venturing farther and farther away from home, in a hungry quest for new adventures and relationships, with the unshaken belief that truth, excitement, understanding, are somewhere out there, waiting to be conquered, that life is a fight for the valiant and the daring, a fight I needed to win. When I got old, I understood destiny follows you around, you can't escape it any more than you can your own shadow. What then is the use of going on a far-out quest for something that is always with you everywhere? I find stability and balance in this place I know so well I could travel it with my eyes closed and not disturb a single pebble on my path. Maybe Purple was right, no matter how far we go, giant always same place. Your bonding ceremony is in a few days, I'm sure you must have lots of things to do. Give my best to Isle, Lily and Humon, and let them know I love them deeply, as always. Yours, Seth.